Amen. Amen. So good to see you all here this morning on this cold, rainy Sunday. And if you were here in person with us, so thankful that you've come out. If you're joining with us online, thankful that you are present there. And church, I just want to say from the get-go, we all need to start aligning our prayers. Because if we're going to have a cold winter morning where there's going to be precipitation, it needs to be snow. I was looking at Brad Panovich, who's my favorite meteorologist, as he's been forecasting this whole weekend. He did put up something here a few days back talking about total snowfall in our area for this season, the 2020-2021 winter season. And North Carolina has gotten abundant snow. But when you look at the map, there is a circle all around Charlotte where there is no snow. So guys, we need to pray that the Lord would bring us snow. Well, so thankful that you are again with us today. We are starting a brand new sermon series I've titled The Joyous Fellowship of the Gospel, where we will be spending the next at least 24 weeks in the book of Philippians. So if you would please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 8. And I titled the sermon this morning, Thanksgiving for Gospel Fellowship in Times of Separation. Huge title, but I think appropriate for today. Because as of today, it has been 326 days since we've been able to assemble in any normal fashion. You can actually look at it and say it's been 333 days if you count the last time the church was together prior to the pandemic was the marriage conference where we were actually not together. We were half of us here and half of us in South Carolina. So we could go back even a week before that to March 7th, when was the last time we were together. We have been in a time of separation, and I really think that that's why the Lord has led me to the book of Philippians. Because even during our separation, God moves, and we still have fellowship, and we still love one another. And I think it's through this letter, as we begin a process of hopefully seeing the end of this pandemic, that we can see the joy and thanksgiving that is found in Christian fellowship that transcends being physically separated from one another. And as we approach the text today, we're in the opening of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and it's broken up into three parts: a welcome, a thanksgiving, and a prayer. And last Sunday night, we looked at the welcome. And this is not uncommon for Paul to do this. It's not uncommon for letter writers in the first century to have an opening like this. But Philippians is different from the other letters that he writes to the church. This is a special letter because Paul has a tremendous amount of love for this church. And today we're going to focus on the thanksgiving that he has for that gospel fellowship with the Philippians. Last Sunday night, I kind of did an introduction to Philippians, but very briefly so that we understand where we are, is that Paul is in prison in Rome, is where I believe that he is. It's definitely a prison letter. This is coming later in his life, later in his imprisonment, and he is writing to the Philippians who, throughout his entire ministry, from the second missionary journey to the third missionary journey to now his imprisonment, have cared for him and sent him gifts and given him support. And so this letter you hear in it as we go through it is one that is overflowing with joy and thankfulness for their fellowship with him. We saw last Sunday night that this letter is written not only to the church leadership that he specifically says, but to every member of the church in Philippi. And I think you will hear in the text this morning a man who loves the church and desperately misses the church, but is thankful for their spiritual presence in his life in such a hard time. So if you have found Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, will you please stand with me if you are able for the reading of God's word. Philippians 1, 3 through 8 says this, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Mighty Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day and this opportunity to be in your house, the opportunity to be gathered, whether in person or online. But Father, I thank you for the bond of fellowship through your Spirit that can only happen because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would be joyous even in the midst of our separation. Father, that we would find thanksgiving because of the great gospel work you have called us to. Lord, that together, even though separate, Lord, we are found in Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts as we anticipate the day where we can once again be gathered in person. But Lord, sustain us through this time of separation in the blessedness of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would speak now and move me out of the way. And Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I pray this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to have to move very quickly through this time because today we also get to share in our fellowship of the Lord's Supper, and I want to make sure that we have time to do this. But as we approach the text today, a question that we can ask is, what can we learn from Paul about how to be thankful for God, in God, for Christian fellowship, even when we are separated, even when we cannot be together? And I think there's 3 points that can be drawn out of this, and inside of those 3 points are 5 steps on how we can be thankful even in the midst of separation. The first point is this: thankful for a shared past. We can be thankful to God for a shared past. Look again at verses 3 through 5. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I give thanks to my God, Paul says. See, the unity and the engine of the love that we have for one another is found in 3 persons. That unity is found in God, who combines and pulls us together as individuals. We see in the text here that it is Paul bound through God to the Philippians, 3 persons. So Paul says, I give thanks to my God for the fellowship that we have, because without God, we would not have that fellowship. So in the same way, we can be thankful because we are united in fellowship, one with another through God. So does those of us who are here in this room today, united through God, to those who may be watching online, we are in fellowship together. The second step we can see in this in thankfulness is that we can remember our shared past that we have together. Notice in the language here in verse 3, he says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. And then he carries that through to verse 5, where he says, from the first day until now. Paul is speaking of a shared past that he has with the Philippians. And he can think all the way back to the beginning of the Philippian church. We were looking at this again last Sunday night, but the beginning of the Philippian church can be found in Acts 16, verses 13 and 14, where he has come into Macedonia, and he has come to Philippi, and he's looking for a synagogue, and not finding one, he searches for a place of prayer, and there by a river, he finds a woman by the name of Lydia. And Lydia is a seller of fine purple cloths, perhaps a woman of great means. But the Lord opens her heart to hear the message of Paul, and a church is born in that very moment. And we continue to move and meet in her house. And so Paul can look back to the very start of the church and see its trajectory from there, even to the present moment. How they have continued to keep in touch with him, how he has continued to keep in touch with them. They have supported him throughout his entire ministry. So he can look back and see the past that they have shared together. And as a church, Mint Hill Baptist Church, we can do this too. I'm always so thankful as I look online on Facebook, and I will see, especially from our senior adults, them sharing memories from Facebook of times past, where they were able to go and fellowship together, whether it would be in other parts of North Carolina or on different vacations together. And then as soon as one posts that, there's so many comments that come around. I remember that time. I love that time. I miss that time. We can remember the past that we have had with one another. Even though we are now 10 and a half months into this pandemic, 10 and a half months where some of us have not seen another one face to face in 10 and a half months, we can still, by the grace of God, be thankful in remembrance of the times that we had leading into that. Third thing I see from here, the third step in thankfulness that Paul shows us is prayer, that we can be constantly praying for one another. He says in verse 4, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. He's talking about that every time he remembers the Philippians, he prays for them. And I am sure that Paul prays for them specifically by name. And he says he prays constantly. And he offers up thanksgiving in this. And not only does he pray constantly for them, he prays with joy. And that word joy really defines this letter. It appears 16 times in the letter to the Philippians, joy. But see, Paul's not talking about an emotion, joy. See, we can't control our emotions. What he's talking about is an attitude of joy. We can control our attitudes. And as Paul remembers the Philippians and he remembers the fellowship that he's had and he's praying for them, he prays with great joy for what has come before. And so the same for us today. We need to pray in the same way. Anytime you remember anyone in this church, pray for them. As the Lord prompts you, pray for them. As you think of the church as a whole, pray for the church as a whole. Even if we do not know what's going on in everyone's life, even if we are not sure of what has happened to that one individual that we haven't seen in 10 months, if the Lord lays you on their heart, pray for them. If the Lord calls you to this building, pray for everyone that would be sitting in here. And as you're watching online and you see us on Facebook, pray for us. We are to pray for one another in all joy, because remembering our Christian past, our shared past together, will fill us with thanksgiving in God, even in our separation. We remember what God has done. But it's not just our past that gives us thanksgiving. We see that in the next point that I want to bring up, is a thankful for a shared future. Thankful for a shared future. So we are thankful for a shared past, but now thankful for a shared future. Look at verse 6, one of the most quoted and most memorized verses in all of the New Testament. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We know this verse. But interesting enough, oftentimes, as we are wont to do when we pull single verses out of Scripture to memorize them, we begin to forget the context of the Scripture. And as we pull it out of context, we may apply it in ways that Paul is not necessarily applying it. It is correct to understand that God will always work in our lives, always work in the life of a Christian to complete our sanctification. That which he has called us to, he will complete it. And so when we pull this text out of context, we begin to think that it's applying to the individual. Paul is talking about the church as a whole. When we put it in its context, he's talking about the believers in Philippi, but he's also talking about the church universal. And this leads us to this fourth step of our thankfulness, is seeing what God will do with our fellowship in the future. And this has been very heavy on my mind, especially as we've come into 2021. Last Sunday morning, I woke up really with a start and a little bit of panic as I realized that it has been more than 10 months and I have not seen the church. And there was just filled with an overwhelming desire for everyone to be together. And even I think the enemy wanted to tempt me to say it's not going to happen. And I say, no, that's not the case. God will bring us together. God has a future planned for us. And I am thankful that there will be a future for Mint Hill Baptist Church and all of our sister churches beyond this pandemic. But church, we need to be thankful and praying now for what God will do for us as we move into the future, because Paul sees a grand future for the Philippians in verse 6. In fact, he starts by saying, I am sure of this. I am confident of what God will do. My surety and confidence in God's movement inside of his church will not be shaken. I know God will accomplish it. Why? He says, he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is God who begins the work, and it is God who will see that work finished in his church. Focus on those two words, good work. This is not the only time we see this phrase in the New Testament. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 speaks of God's creation of good work in us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God has been moving from eternity past in the life of his church, knowing his will and accomplishing it through those he has called. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. So what is the good work that's being spoken of here? Well, the good work of the church is multiplying the kingdom of God on earth. This is our good work, the multiplication of God's kingdom. This is the full gospel work that Christ Jesus has created in us from the dawn of time. But notice this. Why do I say this is applying to the church and not necessarily to the individual? Again, it is, of course, for the individual. God will carry on that good work. But notice what he says here. He said he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What an interesting way to finish that phrase. And it is the key to understanding the context of what he's saying. God has started the good work, and God will complete that good work until Jesus returns. So it's not just the individual that he completes the good work in. It's the whole universal church spread across all of time. See, what Paul is saying here is that he has seen the start of the church in Acts 16:14. He has seen the beginning of the church in Lydia. And what he is thankful for unto God is its continued mission throughout all of human history. He sees a grand future for the church of Philippi and its gospel message that will continue to move throughout Asia and Macedonia, and keep moving through Europe, and keep moving until it has come even now into the United States. And it will continue to move because the church will not be overcome. So the gospel work, the good work that Jesus Christ has called us to, God will complete it. And we too can share in this joy today. There are some who are in our church that can literally remember when it was founded. 71 years ago. They remember the day that this church was formed. But all of us who are part of Mint Hill Baptist Church can remember and know its gospel mission: to love God, love others, and make disciples. And so I am thankful and prayerful for what God is going to continue to do through Mint Hill for the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 70 years, and for generations that will come behind us. This is the good work that God has begun and will continue until Jesus Christ returns on this earth. This is the work of the church. And this should give us thanksgiving even in our separation, that God's work is not done and will continue to do so, not only at Mint Hill Baptist Church, but also our sister churches all around this globe. The church is not defeated. It will continue until Jesus Christ returns. The third thing I want to see is this: be thankful for a shared partnership. To be thankful for a shared partnership. Look again at verses 7 through 8. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. These are two gorgeous verses in the New Testament. And for me as a pastor, these echo in my heart because I feel the same way. I miss the church. I miss the church. But notice as he goes to this thankful for a shared partnership, he starts by saying, you are in my heart. I am thankful and think of you about this way because I have you in my heart. He's constantly, the Philippian church is his heartbeat. And this leads us to our fifth step in thankfulness, the shared gospel work that Jesus Christ has called us to. Notice what he says here. He says that you are partners with me in grace. You are partners with me in grace. That word partner, I didn't focus on it at the beginning of this. This is the second time in these verses that has shown up. Well, this word partner in Greek is koinonia. We've understood this word before as fellowship. And that's what it means. That's what it translates to fellowship, to partnership, to be together. And he says this fellowship that we have, this partnership that we are in is through the grace of God that has started this and created something unique in all of human history, a togetherness and a unity bound up underneath him. But notice his qualification of this partnership, this good gospel work that he is so richly thankful for and the heartbeat that he has for these Philippians. You see it in verse 7. He says, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. He's saying your fellowship unto me, your partnership with me transcends us going to have coffee. See, when we think of this word fellowship, we tend to think of it as Christian togetherness, where we break bread together, we go share a coffee, where we enjoy one another's company. And that is absolutely an aspect of fellowship. But it is not the definition of fellowship. It is partnering. And as Paul is saying here, is a partnership for him that transcends just being together. It is a partnership, as he says, in my imprisonment. What he's saying and what this letter will encapsulate through its wholeness is the Philippian church is supporting Paul. They are financially supporting him. They are supporting him through prayers. They are supporting him literally through sending emissaries to him to have fellowship together. They are partnering with him in the gospel work. So not only in his imprisonment and his suffering, but he says also for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Now why? He said, you share with me in this. When we have context in 2 Corinthians, that the church of Philippi has been under duress, that they have faced sufferings as well. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 2 says this, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. The church at Philippi has shared the gospel burden with Paul. They have shared trials and tribulation. And though he says they are poor, they have given in abundance. That can only come through Jesus Christ. That can only come through a shared grace of a partnership through God alone. And he says here, even in 2 Corinthians 8, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he says, what is the defining feature of this church in Macedonia, the churches in Macedonia, Philippi? Joy. Even in the midst of suffering and trial. Joy. And he says it here. That's why he has such a heart for them, because they have shared with him in the hard work of the gospel. And we can all think about that. what a hard work of the gospel, how it brings together. It brings us together in a way that we will never experience on this side of heaven. Think about times that you've gone on missions trips. Think about times where you have gone to help someone in need. Think about times where there was a fellowship of the church together working. Perhaps even being persecuted in that time. But certainly going and togetherness. I hear so often in those who come back from mission trips, I've heard it of those who've gone to Cuba. They never forget 7 days in Cuba because it was hard. And it drew them together because they saw the gospel explode. And though it was sweaty and difficult and a government did not want them there, they all remember that time because of the hard work of the gospel. So this is how we can be thankful together, O churches. Let us remember the hard work of the gospel that has drawn us together and will continue to draw us together throughout all eternity. Well, in closing, I want to say this as we begin to transition towards the Lord's Supper. Notice the last thing he says in verse 8. For God is my witness, how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul does not often swear by God. It is a rarity to hear him do that. In fact, he tells churches, don't do this. But what is he doing here? He swears by God. He said, I have confidence enough in my own love for you that I can call God as my witness to tell you how much I love you and how much I miss you. What a beautiful, sweet word to be said here. I miss you. Though he is together in spirit with the Philippians, and though their spiritual presence fills that room where he is shackled to two other guards, he said, I really miss seeing you. And later in this letter, he says, I can't wait to come back to you. And thank you for sending Epaphroditus, who is your representative. He misses them. Church, I can tell you as a pastor, and I know you all feel this deeply amongst yourself, we miss each other. Amen. And though we are thankful for the spiritual presence that continues to bind us, we miss each other. So I pray and look forward to that day where God will allow us to be together again. Well, as we close and I pray, we're getting ready to participate in the Lord's Supper, where we will share in fellowship of remembering what our Savior did for us. This is a time of introspection, a time where we examine ourselves, but it's also a time that if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's a time to accept him and know him and be a part of everything we've talked about today, the joy of fellowship. If that's you here this morning, I'm going to pray here in just a moment before we approach the Lord's table. And if that's you and the Lord's working in your heart, I want you to come find me afterwards. Or if you're online, you will see all the links posted in the post today where you can click and tell us your decision. I want you to share in this joy that we have for all eternity found in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that we are bound in spiritual fellowship one with another, even though we are separated. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to lift us high during this time through your unity that you have bound us together in the great gospel work of the church. And Father, I pray that even now, if there be just one who does not know you, Lord, that they would surrender their heart, that they would find a joy unexpressible, bound up in the fellowship of the church. And Lord, even now as we unify at the table of our Savior, and Lord, we remember what he has done for us, Father, I pray that all of our hearts would be bound up with each other. Lord, move in your house in this moment. Move with those who are at home participating separately. Lord, that we would be unified in this hour. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.